direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as you know, on Fridays, we love to interact with and think about the current Christian climate, what's happening in the church, trends and fads, and how we should think scripturally about these things so that we would honor the Lord in our churches and that we would honor the Lord in what we do in worship. That is very important. Worship is something that should be God glorifying, and we should always think through whether we are doing things that bring God the glory in worship. Well, years ago, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones warned about using music to manipulate people's emotions. He called a certain problem of music was people and pastors learned how best to manipulate the listener and the hearer to bring a sort of state of control and manipulate the outcome. The problem is that it was just a never honest approach to worship and the use of music. What it did was create an artificial atmosphere because it was not grounded in the truth. R.L. Dabney used to warn that there's a certain animal instinct in the person. It has the kind of effect that drug use uses and imposes upon the body as it brings people into an elevated state. When you come down, nothing lasting has really occurred. In fact, the more one hits a low, the higher one seeks to go with the next dose. The same can be true with church music. It very much panders to emotions, and emotions are often very misleading. And that's why I said today, it's so dangerous that everything has become a program. Everything has become a show. Everything is rehearsed. There is a great amount of effort and time put in to make the show powerful over the emotions of people. Now, you know on Abounding Grace that I have been very strong about the use of the songbook that God has given us. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Himself inspired a songbook for us? Now, these songs are rich and powerful, and they are full of theology. They are full of meat. They are full for God's people to express in song the very inspired words of the Lord that speak to the real realities of life. I mean, you know, when you listen to the praise music today, it's so shallow and so repetitious. There's nothing more than the elevation of emotions. But I mean, Psalm 110. I just grabbed a psalm here. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You know God's people used to sing this? These are psalms. They are wonderful for the experiences of life. They're wonderful for the exaltation of the King. The Bible presents to us different kinds of psalms for worship. Lamentation, imprecatory, messianic, praise. You know, even the hard realities of life. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Can you imagine that opening up a worship service today? Isn't that the real experience, though, of the Christian, that often we feel that God is distant or that God has left us and we're struggling with his goodness? That's honest, isn't it? The Psalms are honest about life. They give a perspective about hardship, trials, afflictions, sufferings, and also joys, blessings, gospel, grace. These are the things that people experience and have experienced as they are expressed in the Psalms. As we are transformed by praise, you know. But think about what happens today. Ministries in general deal with the hard realities of life, don't they? Hard realities of life. But do we often ponder and sit and think about the inconsistencies of what is actually happening in worship? Nothing about services today depict hard realities for people, that people are going through the struggles of life, the sin of life. In other words, worship services today become the greatest mask to cover up everything that people face as soon as they leave the service. And so worship becomes a sort of tonic to avoid the realities of sin and suffering in this life. I mean, think about it. The lights, the music, the drums, the worship center, the stage, the espresso bar, the message, all provide a temporary escape, not just from the consequences of living in a fallen world, but from the realities of the wounds within. God speaks to us where we are, and His word gives us comfort in the midst of the distresses of this life. But we don't cover the hard realities of sin in this life. Today, people advertise worship as being inspiring, uplifting, and life-giving. In what way? In what way? You see, the entertainment style service today makes an assumption that all we need for our life struggle is just a good amount of encouragement. The applications of worship assume that our greatest problem is that we have just been derailed from being all that God really wants us to be. In other words, worship, especially the music, is being used to manipulate what God actually says is our real problem and real need. Instead, we end up pandering to what we think people want. And when we do this, we never give them what they actually need. What is the balm that truly heals? Does all the pomp and glitter really give us life? We see this cover-up even stronger in the way praise songs are implemented today. You know, take a song like this, which is sung in worship. I stand in awe. I stand in awe. I stand in awe. I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. Now, there's nothing really powerful in those words, is it? Why do you stand in awe? But what made that exciting to sing in a repetitious manner is the way the music controlled the emotions. Why do you stand in awe? The endless repetition of these praise songs not only ignores Jesus' warning of trying to manipulate God to hear us by our many words, but they leave us without a basis for offering praise. Think about it. The Bible presents praise as a response to the reception of some mighty act of deliverance the Lord, in His great power and supremacy, has accomplished for us. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The basis for my praise comes in this case from God's wonderful forgiveness, healing, redemption, and provision. Now listen, this is a really important point today. I don't work those realities up from within me. It's never, I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. The call to praise is always connected to an act of God's sovereign working, God's power, God's provision for saving us on behalf of His people at some point in history, of what He's done for us. Now, when a church begins worship, the first 20 minutes of praise music, out comes the band, up go the hands, all you've done is falsely elevate people's emotions. There has been no place given to have the truth as it is in Jesus be your guiding light. You see, the pastor comes up, welcome everyone, let's get started with some praise. And all you've done is trigger emotion to bring them into this sort of state. The challenge here and the problem here is that singing is not a means of grace. What do I mean by that? Where does grace come from? Well, if I don't work up grace within me, if it's not something that's earthly, if it's something that's heavenly, we're beginning today with the wrong assumption that real uplifting worship elevates us to God first through music. In other words, we lift ourselves up to God instead of God graciously coming to us. The word, the old theological word, is condescending to us in His word and sacrament. The approach today is backwards. Our praise is always a response to His nearness to us in the word spoken, the word preached. You know, it's this reason that Protestants have always believed that worship is a dialogue between us and God. Our response flows from what He has declared through His servant in the written word. These are two different aspects of worship, aren't they? Two different aspects. Think about it. God speaks. He calls us to worship. What is our response to God speaking to us in His word? We pray. God speaks to us and greets us with a word of blessing. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Or the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you. You have all these blessings spoken. And how do we respond to that? We sing to Him. That's a response to benediction. Or He speaks by instructing in His will for us. We respond by what? Well, if God's told us how to live, we confess our sins together. We ask for forgiveness. As He speaks to us in the Word, we respond in song and we give a gift to Him. These are all responses. We sing. Singing is a response. This is the point, to His grace to us. Through and through, there's dialogue. And our responses are only appropriate to what the Lord has already done for us in history, as that is proclaimed by the servant God sends. Now, think of what's happened today. The man side of worship is full of practices that are more appropriate for a theater than for what is appropriate before a holy God. You know, as Calvin warned, our hearts are idol factories. Even Christians' hearts, we're constantly creating idols of our own imagination. Just look at Israel in the wilderness. Look what they did. They had a great worship experience up on the mountain, didn't they? Oh yeah, they made a golden calf. This is your God. And they worshiped and they danced. But they created an idol in doing that. We create new idols all the time to worship in the place of the true God. We incessantly forget the basic principle that must accompany all true worship. By those who come near to me, I must be regarded as holy. You need to ask that today. Is there a sense of a guy just chatting up there, kicking up his feet on around a barbecue, around a fire pit, and giving you some casual conversation? That's not worship. That's not worship. People coming in and out of the coffee bar is not worship. No, no. God has called us to reverence Him with reverence and godly fear. Much of what goes on today, sadly, profanes His holiness. If anything, today we're doing things that have the appearance of wisdom in self-imposed worship, says Colossians 2:23. Worship that is imposed by us upon God. It's His house. I don't come in your house and try to tell you what to do. We shouldn't do the same in God's. God knows how He wants to be worshiped. Let us go back to His word, return to His word, and worship Him in the beauty of holiness, trembling again before Him as Christians in all the earth. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.